Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right. Everyone's turned into clay. I look around me, everyone's just three knuckles deep into their mouth. Is there pizza or something? Is there...
And it's free.
Radio's so embarrassing. Like, if you didn't know that radio had the most pathetic pay scale ever, you would be able to... You'd be able to tell by the fact that we're all... Well, it's free! It doesn't even matter how good it is. It doesn't even matter if it's decent or not. Look,
it doesn't matter how bad it is for you if it's free. I'm eating it.
It's in the conference room, and they're not charging us for it. Rick, this email says, it's just an urban legend that Jane Mansfield's head was cut off, as Tim has said it was one of her blonde wigs. Also, we knew this. Also, one of her daughters is the star in Law & Order SVU. The woman that Howard Hughes had it for was Jane Russell. That's right. Okay. See, Tim confuses Jane Mansfield and Mamie Van Doren. I'm always confusing Jane Mansfield and Jane Russell. That's my little thing there. All right. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Coming up later on this hour, Jolie from the front desk is going to be here. I guess she's a note that she didn't get to... She didn't get to her business Friday about deal breakers for women, so we're going to hear a little bit about that. Coming up in the third hour, we got today's top five. The five songs performed by the Beatles 40 years ago tonight on their first ever appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. We've also got, and I have Eddie to thank for this, we have inexplicably... Do you ever just see people in the news and they're making a comeback of some kind and you just... Like, you just don't know why. It just sort of seems like the press is just sort of randomly started thumbing through a phone book, and they just, Jean-Claude Van Damme. We didn't even get to play all of those. Is that tonight that he's on Las Vegas? What happened to that guy? Anyway, so Jean-Claude Van Damme, whose name must be said that way, it's like a rule, is apparently, how low do you have to have sunk in your career before you're not only guesting on a bad drama, but you're guesting on a bad drama as yourself, which is sort of an admission that people know you can't act. You know what I mean? It's like, Jean-Claude Van Damme, we'd like you to be in Las Vegas. Who shall I play? Or however it is he speaks. Who shall I play then on your show? Well, you're just going to be yourself. Well, okay. Well, what happened? Well, you're going to die. And he not only plays himself, but he plays himself and he dies, right? I mean, it does seem like you've sort of... I mean, you've shrunk to even, like, sub-surreal life levels there. When you're guesting as yourself on a terrible NBC show in which your character's sole purpose is to die. In any event. So we got that, and then Eddie sends us, amazingly enough, Scott Baio news, which we're... It's like, why... Which I guess... And it's in the New York Times. It's in the New York Times, and I'm looking at it here. It also appeared in the Seattle PI. Apparently, they felt there was a dearth of news about Scott Baio. The hell is that guy doing? Well, whatever. So we'll get to the Scott Baio news here in just a short while. And so forth. Yeah. In any event, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. It's the Rick Emerson Show. This is Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
And now, it's not just news. It's news with Tim Riley. Live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Straightening up the Jane Mansfield rumors. First of all, many of these are due in part to the tabloid papers of the time. The coroner says he was not decapitated. The time of death, June 29, 1967, at 2 a.m. The high point of her career was that when she sold her used bath water for $10 a bottle.
We should totally do that with Sarah. We could make some money there. Hey, Sarah, can we sell your used bath water?
Do I get to keep the money?
No. You can keep a small piece of it. We'll let you wet your beak. You can get a little taste of the action there.
80% and I'm there.
All right, excellent.
Some of the awards she won included Hot Dog Ambassador, Miss Negligee, Miss Nylon Sweater.
Is Hot Dog Ambassador code for
Miss
something?
Miss Electric Switch, Miss Geiger Counter, Miss 100% Pure Maple Syrup, Miss 4th of July, Miss Fire Prevention. Miss
what the hell are you talking
tomato
about?
Tomato. Awards won by Jane Mansfield.
I don't understand. Okay. Where do you go to win Miss Maple Syrup? I don't... Okay. Whatever.
How does one win Miss Geiger Counter?
How does one win Miss Hot Dog Ambassador? What is that about?
How's it consistent?
Hey, I don't know. All right. Well, let's move on.
And her real name, Vera Jane Palmer.
Okay.
So let's talk about last night's Grammy Awards. P. Diddy says his own young children viewed Miss Jackson's breast, but thankfully they won't be scarred for life.
I thought that, things were extremely overrated, I thought it was disgusting how they went after her. I have three kids. I have three sons. I'm very happy for them that they were able to see one of Janet Jackson's breasts in their lifetime. I don't think they'll be scarred for life. They are all right. I talked to them about it. They was like, Daddy, why did it go so quick?
And no, see, that's funny. See, you got to give it up for that. That's legitimately. So she didn't show up at all because I watched. See, through the miracle of TiVo, you watch the entire thing in like 29 minutes. And so I just, and you know, because there's several things about the Grammys, and in fact, all award shows. I mean, I think we all know that this is true. And I mean, this is, you know, we do this every year. Every year they have the Grammys. Every year the Grammys are terrible. Every year there's, you know, every year it's 90% crap and 10% quality, and every year we kind of complain about the same things. But I'll tell you this, don't you think we've gotten to a point in human history where we can just skip the stupid scripted banter when they come out? You know, and it's always people, it's always the same thing. It's always two people come out, they stand at the podium, and they start to read the teleprompter, they start to read the witty repartee between the two of them, and they can't do it, and then they start to, and then they sort of crack up at the fact that they're not able to read something which is three sentences long and 5 feet away. So, so using the TiVo, I'm able to just to get past all of that. And I'm able to get to, like, I'm able to skip forward to, like, Outkast, who, of course, just give a two-word acceptance speech anyway. How great is that, by the way? The two-word Outkast acceptance speech. Just, thank you. Done. Gone. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. That's good stuff.
P. Diddy admits he's jealous he didn't do something similar to Janet.
You should thank Janet that's all they saw. Because if I would have knew that I would have practiced all that time and she was going to steal the thunder, I would have ripped out something on this world that you would have never forgot.
Okay.
The senseless moment of the night was when Coldplay frontman Chris Martin, who isn't even American, endorses John Kerry for president.
We'd like to dedicate this to Johnny Cash and to John Kerry, who hopefully will be your president one day. And anyway, thanks a lot for having us. Bye.
And Jimmy Stewart is proving he's the modern-day polka king. The performer once again scored
Jimmy
a Grammy.
Jimmy Stewart?
Stir.
Oh, okay.
S-T-U-R. This time, we're taking the best polka album category. Stir's Let's Poke Around, beat a list of competitors. Let's listen.
Come on, let's poke around. Let's shake it down. Let's put the best floor. And when we play it, we're
And Bill Clinton is adding a Grammy Award winner to his list of accolades. He received a Grammy in the category of Best Spoken Word Album for Children.
Just when he needs another way to get laid. Another way to impress. But I want a Grammy.
Mikhail Gorbachev and Sophia Loren also appear on that album.
Excellent. I'm a Grammy Award winner recording. Come back to my trailer.
That's what it happens. I'm Tim Ryan.
Come on. How great is that? I love Bill Clinton, man. That's a guy. You know, people can say what they want, but Bill Clinton makes me proud. You know, just continues to make me, and the thing about Bill Clinton is, going into office, I don't sit and dwell on Bill Clinton, but I just got to tell you, when that guy went into office, it's like we just had such low expectations for him because he's just such a sleazy, slimy, Dukes of Hazzard reject, you know, car salesman type guy that it's like we all just sort of knew that, you know what I mean? And so it was absolutely no problem just to, just to roll with that because we all knew it was exactly the, we all knew it was exactly the case, you know? So we expected nothing from that guy. So, yeah, good times. It's like a first, it's like an honorary Rat Pack president or something. All right, we got this thing that Tim gave me about towing that we're going to get to in a second, but I have to read the Scott Baio story, though, because I'm just so flabbergasted that, I mean, and Scott Baio is one of those guys where you've got to wonder if he's still, like, is it still impressed? Like, can you still get a table being Scott Baio in 2004? Because correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, he wasn't Bible Man. That was Willie Ames. But the last thing Scott, has he done something since Charles in Charge? Everybody knows Scott Baio because he was, you know, he was Chachi Arcola on Happy Days. And then he did Joni Loves Chachi, which ran for like a day and a half. And then he did Charles in Charge, and I think that was sort of the end of him. I'm not really sure whether he's aiming for some sort of, like whether people are clamoring for some sort of a Scott Baio comeback or something.
I've seen him on a few Lifetime movies.
Really?
Yeah.
Just doing, playing what?
I think he was a serial killer in one.
Yeah, excellent. That's what we call doing the Judd Nelson there, when you're just desperately trying to play against type to get someone to pay attention to you. Anyway, so this is the actual, quote, news story. And I get the feeling that there's just a gigantic file of these things. That it's like whenever there is an actual news to report, they just have a big manila folder of things they go to. You know, they have a big file of news about Bob Denver or something. They reach into whenever there's going to be spare space left in the newspaper that they need to fill. The headline, is, and this is from the Associated Press. Imagine going to work at the Associated Press, the most esteemed and prestigious news gathering organization in the entire world. And then the assignment they give you is to go get news from Scott Baio. You know, you go to work there, you go, you know, you've got $50,000 in college loans that you've got to pay back. You've gone, you've received your communications and journalism degrees. You know, you've interned, you've struggled, you've come up through the minor leagues, and then finally you get a job at the Associated Press. You're waiting for your big break. You're there, you're the ace cub reporter with the press pad stuck in the band of your hat, and they say, "Look, we need you to go talk to Scott Baio. Find out what he's up to." In any event, the headline reads, "Scott Baio never wore Fonzie's jacket." Dateline New York. Scott Baio played Chachi Arcola in the 50s nostalgic comedy Happy Days, co-starring Henry Winkler, who played Arthur Fonzarella. And then he says, it was taboo. Oh, this is apparently from Entertainment Weekly. I guess this is from this week's Entertainment Weekly. He says it was taboo to try on Fonzie's jacket. Why is anyone interviewing Scott Baio about this? He added, there were different jackets. I hate to dispel the myth. It was taboo to touch any of them. This, we ought to have some award every week for the least important story being covered by, of course, then here I am reading it. He says it was considered extremely taboo on the set to touch Fonzie's jacket. It was something you just didn't do. And then they end by saying, Baio starred in the Happy Days spin-off Joni Loves Chachi in the sitcom Charles in Charge, which went from 84 to 90. That's it. That's the extent of the article. It's the entire article. They've tracked down Scott Baio just for the sole purpose of reporting that he never wore Fonzie's jacket. There you go. There's the American Press. Hard at work there. Excellent. Well done. All right. Tell you what. Let's do this. Let's break now. We'll come back. We'll do stuff on the other side. Coming up later this hour, we got Jolie from the front desk with How Chicks Think. Coming up in the third hour, today's top five. Top five songs performed by the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show 40 years ago this night. So we'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 KTK. Don't go anywhere.
Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Sarah Dillon has this, the traffic.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Good afternoon, 120, Tim Riley with news, brought to you by 1-888-MY-BILLS. Why don't you call them now, and a debt counselor will help you consolidate your bills into one affordable monthly payment. That's 1-888-MY-BILLS, or go to mybills.org. There is no question that Barbershop 2 would take the box office over the weekend, with the sequel pulling in $25.1 million. Ice Cube talks about the realistic storyline of the shop dealing with new competition across the street.
It's something that the community has to deal with somewhere every day. So, you know, it was cool that we were able to hint to it. I mean, our movie's not full of solutions, but it's definitely full of questions on, you know, what do you do when it's time to be, you know, out with the old and with the new?
Yes. Talk about why you were surprised with the success of Barbershop, Mr. Cube.
Pleasantly, definitely. I mean, I knew we had a good movie, but that's not always a guarantee that people are going to go out and see it. Very happy the way MGM promoted the movie. You know, they promoted the movie across the board. No niche, you know, audience type of thing. And, you know, paid off.
Yes. Well, it feels like springtime out there today with sunny skies, highs 45 to 50, clear tonight, fog after midnight, tomorrow mostly sunny again, sunny on Wednesday, Thursday, all the way till Friday. Tim Riley, KOTK News.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080, KOTK.
Indeed, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. That's hitting a post right there. That's delivering the post is what that is. Feel that. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. Coming up this hour, Jolie from the front desk with How Chicks Think. She will natter on and whine endlessly about things that we really don't care about. Specifically, I guess, Friday she felt that she was overlooked in the great rush to Peter to get the Peter Carlin segment. She was apparently overlooked. We were talking about things that are deal breakers when it comes to being. That's the being, that's the capital, the biblical B, the capital B, with someone. We're talking about things that are deal breakers for guys. We had this guy who A guy who apparently said to some woman that if I can see a girl's rib cage, it's a deal breaker. In any event. So we were asking Jolie if girls had those. We didn't get a chance to get them. We'll get to them this hour. Coming up next hour, today's top five. 40 years ago tonight, the Beatles appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show for the first time. So we're going to do the five songs performed by the Beatles that night. Before I get to this thing here that I got to get to, I do have to give you this. It's a list, and this is, of course, from our good friend Aaron, Geek in the City. We were reading Scott Baio news just moments ago, and apparently Scott Baio is still quite the subject line of this email is just, women Scott Baio has banged. And he says, Rick, I know it's fun to mock Scott Baio. However, let us run this ever-impressing list by the audience. Pamela Anderson. Erica Laniak. Erica Laniak, by the way, she was in Baywatch. She was a Playmate of the Month. She was in Under Siege, by the way. She's the girl that comes out of the cake in that Steven Seagal. Where the hell did Steven Seagal go? Steven Seagal and Scott Baio and Jean-Claude Van Damme. Like, it wasn't for the Surreal Life. Where would those guys even go? You know, because there was, you know what I was watching this weekend for the first time in a long time? I was watching Fantasy Island. Because I don't know if you all remember Fantasy Island. But Fantasy Island, there used to be two dumping grounds for washed-up celebrities. It was Fantasy Island, and there was... anyone?
Hollywood Squares?
No, well, yes. Love Boat. I was going to say Love Boat. Both of them from Aaron Spelling, by the way. So I'm watching Fantasy Island this weekend, and it's Don Knotts and Florence Henderson. Yeah! There you go. Man, to Don Knotts, imagine out there that there is, because he has children. And so there's someone who's had sex with Don Knotts. I mean, like, more than once. You know what I mean? And just close your eyes right now and imagine having sex with Don Knotts. Do it. Do it now. Yeah, I mean, it's just wrong. I mean, it's just conscious of all kinds of weird things inside your head. So anyways, I'm watching Fantasy Island this weekend. There's Florence Henderson and there's Don Knotts. You know, and of course, you know, the presence of Ricardo Montalban alone is enough to, is enough to get me to watch the show every so often. But I'm watching the show and I'm thinking about, you know, how there just isn't, because there was that and there was the Love Boat and there was Hollywood Squares, and that's where Hollywood stars sort of washed up when they were past their prime. But there isn't any place like that now. There's just, I mean, other than the Surreal Life, is there anywhere? I mean, there's nowhere for Hollywood stars to go to die anymore. I don't think there's any sort of, any sort of backwater for them to end up in now. If there is no Aaron Spelling show, because Aaron Spelling shows have just increasingly become about 16-year-old girls prancing around in their panties, which is fine. You know, I'm all with that. But, I mean, the Surreal Life is it, man. There's nowhere where sort of B-list stars sort of wash up these days. In any event. Scott Baio, he has slept with Pamela Anderson, Erica Laniak, Nicole Eggert, Nicholas Sheridan, Brooke Shields, Heather Locke. How unfair is this list, by the way? That even Scott Baio gets to sleep with Heather Locklear. It's just wrong. He says, if you don't believe me, write and ask the man himself. Scott Baio, 4333 Foreman Avenue, Toluca Lake, California, 91602. Aaron, Geek in the City. P.S. F. Matt with Potsy's back sweat.
This F. Matt could be sponsored by New Business.
Okay, that's just all kinds of bad. We're going to move on to something completely different, and we're going to not think about Potsy's back sweat anymore. I don't know if we mentioned this last hour, but Tim, this is fortuitous. Tim came in and he gave me this. Apparently Tim was at Red Robin this weekend for reasons sort of... Does Red Robin advertise with us?
No.
Okay. Sort of, he was at Red, I mean, first of all, why would Tim be, he's not in there, but I don't even know why. I don't know why Tim would be at Red Robin. It seems like a place that Tim wouldn't eat at.
I used to work at Red Robin.
They make a fine garden burger.
Well, why would you, you're going to have a okay. Can we talk about something here? Let me address vegans in the audience for just a moment. You know what vegans can quit doing right now? This was actually going to be part of a larger thing. This was going to be, we meant to do last week, we meant to do another edition of Five Small Things That Are Pissing Me Off. We never really got to it. But I will just say that one of them was going to be this. Attention, vegans. Quit trying to market vegan food to me by explaining to me how much it tastes like meat. If you want to eat meat, just eat meat. Don't eat something that is essentially shredded, pressed cardboard and try to get me to eat it under the auspices of it tasting like beef. You know? If you want to eat something that tastes like beef, go eat part of a goddamn cow. Don't sit there and, you know, try this tofu. Well, why should I eat that tofu? Well, it tastes just like pork. Yeah, but there's pork right over there on the other aisle. I know, but this is tofu. You know what I mean? Either eat beef or don't eat beef. If you're going to eat vegetables that taste like vegetables. Don't sit there and eat vegetables and try to shove them on everybody else by convincing me that they taste like an animal. If God didn't want us to eat pigs, he wouldn't have made them out of bacon, okay? That's just the way it goes. So, I mean, eat meat, don't eat meat. But don't try to convince me that one is the other. Do you know what I mean? Jesus God. In any event. For reasons unknown to civilized humanity, Tim was at Red Robin this weekend, which is apparently adjacent to a Denny's. And so, as soon as you walk into the Red Robin, they hand you this thing that says, "We apologize for any convenience, but if you park in the Denny's lot located on the south side of our building, Denny's will tow without notice."
That's the Red Robin right there on MLK.
Is it?
I've been to that one.
In an effort to better serve our guests, we offer a parking lot discount. That's a touch of class at that Red Robin is what it is. Just present your current parking lot stub to your server while dining and we'll discount an hour's worth of parking at the Denny's. They know how to treat people first class at that Red Robin. If you've come to dine at Red Robin, you also get an hour's parking at the Denny's next door. And mint-scented toothpicks at the cash register. Everybody come on down. All right, so the reason we're talking about... Why were you at Red Robin?
I went to the car show, and I stopped somewhere to eat before that.
Yeah, all right. Well, in any event, so the reason this is fortuitous, by the way, is because somebody just sent me this thing about, the tow truck operator is not number one, by the way, but somebody sent me this thing from somebody called the Simmons Group, which is apparently some group that does a poll-taking service, and it was a list of jobs treated with most hostility by the public. You know, jobs in which the people just despise you and hate you. And number two is, of course, tow truck operator. Because have you ever been towed? Have you ever been towed and seen the guy doing it? Have you ever, this is why this thing ties in so well. Have you ever come out and you see the guy towing your car, and you come out and just as you leave the building, the guy is hooking up the straps to the underside of your car, and you walk out of the door of the building, you come out of the parking lot just in time to see your car being lifted up and towed away down the street, and it's just the worst, most helpless feeling on earth. You know, it's like the one time I had a car repossessed a few years ago when it was like 95, 96 or something. I had a car, and it's like, you know, the same reason my lights were always getting turned off when I lived by myself. I mean, it's like I had the money to do it. I had the money to pay it, but I was just lazy and stupid and forgetful. And so I would always forget to mail the check. And so it's like I would just come home some days, and I would open the door to my cave-like apartment, and I'd come inside, and it would just be pitch black. I mean, you know, if you ever want to know what a world without women is like, then you just come to, go to my apartment in 1996, man. It was just endless filth and... You know, just like a big mound of Taco Bell wrappers in the middle of the living room. But it's like every so often, I would just get, my lights and my heat and my power and my phone and everything turned off at my apartment. Not because I didn't have any money, but just because I was just too lazy and scatterbrained to ever pay my bills. You know what I mean? And so it's like I would come home every so often, I'd flick on the light switch and nothing would happen. And the power had just been turned off in my apartment. And I'd just be like, well, all right, doesn't matter. Just sleeping there on the couch, just sleeping there because, of course, the bed has slowly been, like, overrun by dirty clothes that I've never bothered to wash, and it's just becoming, like, at one point, I just quit checking my mailbox because, I just forgot to check my mail for weeks on end, and so then the post office does that thing where they just close it, they just, like, brick it up and refuse to, they just quit delivering things there. But so because of this same pathology and syndrome about having the money to pay for things but just being so scatterbrained I didn't do it, extended to not making a car payment for like 6 months. And so the one day I'm coming out of the office building and I walk out of the parking lot and it's like you can just see the tail end, like you can just see the car vanishing around the corner and going down the street. And it's just the worst feeling on earth. I mean, there's several types of helpless. There's all kinds of different stripes of helpless, but there is no helpless like you've locked yourself out of your car, you've lost your keys, or your car has been taken away. And I'll tell you this right now. I don't know if, like, tow truck operators come with flak jackets. I don't know if they're walking around in bulletproof vests, but they ought to. Because every time that my car has ever been towed, every time that my car has ever been taken away, I mean, I'm not advocating that I'm not advocating that you shoot people in the face. I'm just saying every time my car has ever been towed, if I'd been there when it happened, there would have been violence. I mean, tow truck operators, they must pack heat. I mean, they must all do that because And it's just the most angering thing on earth. There is no more angering feeling than some guy towing your car away. The only job that even comes close to hatred levels, the only one that even approaches the hatred level of tow truck operators is the number one here, which is parking enforcement operator, which is what we've all agreed to call meter maids, even though they are meter maids. That's what they are. We can go along with this fiction that they're parking enforcement operators, but they're meter maids. And I'll tell you this, I have done that thing too, where you're walking out of Powell's and you come to your car and the guy's writing you the ticket on your windshield. And the guy is there and you have the keys in your hand getting ready to move the car and they're writing you the ticket. It's like this weird combination of feelings, right? It's this combination of seething rage and then, like, impotent frustration because you can't do anything about it. And meter maids always seem to have this sort of... And it's because they know that their job is pointless, right? I don't know if meter maids are actually cops. I mean, are they... Is a meter maid a type of a cop? Is that a thing when you become a cop? Is that the way you start out at the very bottom level? Is it a subsection of cops or is it a separate job altogether? And do they carry guns? I mean, that's what I don't know if they're real cops or if they're just sort of pseudo cops. Like, I don't know if they're sort of, if meter maids are cop light or whatever. You know what I mean? But I suspect that they're not. I suspect that meter maids are a bit like security. I mean, I don't know this for sure. But I suspect that meter maids are a bit like security guards in that they want to be cops, but they're not quite able to... And they're not quite good enough to make it onto the force like with everybody else. And so they go, no, well, you can't actually... You didn't pass the test well to be a police, but we've got this... To be in the police department, but we've got this other job for you here. And so they sort of shove them into the meter maid job, and that's why they're so loathsome. That's why they're such hideous human beings. You come out, and you see them with the ticket book in their hand, and they always seem to have this sort of perma-smirk on their face, you know, because they know that what they do is essentially pointless, and you know what they do is essentially pointless, but they also know that they've kind of got you over a barrel there. So anyway, yeah, parking enforcement operator, tow truck operator, followed by customer service phone representative. And the reason that that's such a loathsome profession is because... When you call up and they kind of know that they know that if they're obnoxious to you, like, you're never going to be able to track them down anyway. Like, if you've ever called, you know, like a computer company, you've ever called your ISP, you've ever called Quest, and they know and you know that once the phone gets disconnected, you're never going to be able to track them down again and figure out who the operator is so they can just sort of be as curt and bitchy to you as they want. Because you're never going to, because you have no way of discerning who they are. You have no way of hacking your way through the undergrowth and thicket of that phone tree to find them ever again.
Not so necessarily. They have a number. They'll say, hi, I'm operator number, 27415.
Really?
Yeah, and so I always write that down whenever before I start talking to someone.
No, for the longest time, you know, I would just, you know, you would call and you try to be polite, you try to be courteous, and it just seems like they go to some special school, you know, to be both unhelpful and obnoxious. So, all right, we're going to do this. We're going to come back. We've got Jolie from the front desk coming up on the other side. Later on in the third hour, we got today's top five here for your phone calls and all that. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Don't go anywhere.
Live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right. Sarah Dillon's got the traffic.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. At least I didn't take the NyQuil. I don't know whatever it was. Oh, and Benadryl or some crap. I had that weird head cold going on this morning where I had the congestion going on. That's why I'm so freaking loopy today. So, my head is filled with a thick, dense fog today. I have no idea. Ugh. All right. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. We're just a few moments away from our good friend Jolie with another exciting edition of How Chicks Think. No, that can't be true. Really? Excellent. Let's see. Let's talk to our good friend, Therese, who was our, of course, pinch chick a few weeks back when Jolie was gone. What's that? You have Scott Baio news, or Scott Baio?
I actually have a real, true, honest-to-God, real-life story about Scott Baio.
Okay, bring it on.
I was set up on a blind date with him.
Yeah. See, how many people can say that?
I don't know. I wish I couldn't say it. It was the most horrible night of my whole life.
Well, that's... But he's Scott Baio.
But he's Scott Baio.
He's Chachi. How could that be anything but fantastic? Yeah. Clearly, Heather Locklear liked him.
Well, I know. He has a thing for blondes. And, of course, as you know, I'm a brunette.
Yes.
So that was my first strike against me.
Yeah, well.
You know. What can I say? But it was back in the day when I was, like, quite hot. So, I mean, I was a little insulted he didn't find me the least bit attractive.
Scott Baio. Did you sort of know that it was going to be a celebrity? I mean, did they say, now, look, we're going to be setting you up with somebody from the cast of Charles in Charge?
Well, no, it was during Charles in Charge. I was a casting associate with a big casting director in Hollywood, and he has a good friend that worked on that show, and she and he put their heads together and decided that Scott needed to be grounded somehow with a nice, normal, regular girl, which it turned out to be me.
Excellent.
And they didn't tell me until we were on. They said, hey, how about we all go out to dinner tonight? I said, hey, that sounds good. So they took us to some swanky, you know, restaurant in L.A.
But, I mean, did you look around at some point and you're like, hey, so I'm here and I'm out on a date with
Scott Baio? Over to the table and
Scott Baio, yeah.
Right next to me.
Yeah.
And I looked at him and we were introduced, and the whole rest of the evening, and I mean the entire rest of the evening, he did not look at me once.
Yes, it's clearly his loss. But, I mean, at any point were you tempted just to call people and go, they're setting me up with Scott Baio?
I was actually really embarrassed by it. And here I am confessing it on the Rick Emerson
show. I'm just saying that Scott Baio is one of those, you know, it's like going out and ending up on a date with, you know, I don't know, with Conrad Bain or Abe Vigoda. Well, I guess not. He's not 90, but you know what I'm saying. All right, that's Therese. Let's quickly get John and Newberg here on Hot Talk Today, KFGK. What's up?
Hey, Rick, just thought I'd let you know why that guy over in England got so peed at the speed box.
Oh yeah, well we have this guy. Well, that's the genesis of this towing thing. That this article about how tow truck operators are the second most hated job in the world after meter maids. And this is that was prompted by the story we had last hour of some guy that took a bunch of like nitrate explosives and blew up one of those your current speed is 26 things that they set by the side of the road.
Yeah, well over there they don't love you like that. They don't tell you it's your current speed.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty little flash. And then about 6 to 8 weeks later, you get a nice little ticket in the mail.
Well, they got that here, too. They got the photo radar here.
The photo radar for the stoplights. But there, you'll just be cruising around the countryside, you know, taking a nice, pretty Sunday drive, and then all of a sudden, flash. And here's your 120 mark, or in their case, I guess, an 80-pound ticket in the mail waiting for you.
The best thing is when you see people try to bitch and moan about those and insist that it's not them. And it's got a photo, clearly, of, like, yeah, you know, my friend Martin got nailed by, we called it, you know, in Utah they called it photocop, but it was the same thing, you know, it's a camera getting the picture of the guy speeding. And so here's my friend Martin. Now, Martin, you got to understand, he's a 65-year-old man, bald, glasses, goatee, always wears his shirt open to his navel, gold chains underneath, like full-on Austin Powers guy. And so he comes into work one day, and he's clutching this photo, and he's like, eh, God, bastards, trying to make me pay, clearly not me. You know, and I look at the photograph. First of all, there's Martin's car. The license plate says Martin on it, and behind the wheel, there's a guy, bald, glasses, bad teeth, goatee, shirt open, gold chains. I'm like, Martin, who do you, nah, it's not me, it's the boy who mows my lawn. You know, clearly, just tap dancing, fooling and convincing no one, so.
Well, in my last 3 weeks in Germany, just before I sold my car, I got one, so I went around a corner, saw a flash.
Yeah.
Well, I sold a car to a buddy of mine from Philadelphia. I happen to be a black guy. I'm blonde-haired, blue-eyed. So I told him. He got the bill about 6 weeks later, and he called me up here and said, guess what, dude? They sent it to me. I beat it.
Excellent. Well done. All right, there you go. That's John. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show for another exciting edition of How Chicks Think. Our good friend Jolie from the front desk. How are you, sister?
I'm so jealous.
The baby Scott Baio.
Yeah, I used to love him. Like, he was my favorite. But then, well, now that I know that he's a-hole.
She didn't say that. She just said that he was partial to blondes. Let's not disparage.
He didn't pay attention to her at all. He could at least have been courteous.
It sounds like he may not have known he was being set up on a date, though. It sounds like it may be one of those things that he wasn't really privy to until the evening unfolded. You got to show respect to Scott Baio. He was...
I do love him.
Just come on here and be maligning the cast of Happy Days. Not on my show.
Well, enough about Scott, but I'd like to share some...
Enough about Scott Baio, Rick.
...emails with you about me.
Yeah.
Since, well, you know, you bring me down with those mean emails that you read.
So I just pass them along. Now, look, it's not just mean emails. I've read you several emails from people who think that you are perhaps a little overzealous in your observations, but I've read numerous emails from guys who lust after your enormous cans, too. So,
oh,
I mean, it's really... No, I mean, it's a bit of a wash. It does seem like... It does seem like you're getting your share of compliments lately.
Well, yeah, if that's what you think is a compliment about effing all the time.
Nobody says that about
me.
And
cans and everything.
Nobody says I lust after Rick Emerson's enormous cans. It doesn't happen
well,
ever.
Well, I'm
not
afraid
once.
You don't have any, Rick.
I'm working. A boy can dream.
Okay, so this one says, How Chicks Think is my favorite part of the show. And this goes out to that guy last week that, you know, wanted me to leave.
Yeah.
He says, no matter what I'm doing at work, I always take my lunch at 1:30 so I can hear you. Thanks for making me laugh. Doug. Thanks, Doug. Love ya. And this one says, what does it say? I rarely agree with a lot of your points, but I wanted to take a second to let you know that a lot of us enjoy your segment, regardless of the snide remarks I might ever make. Feel free to keep this email in your stack of kudos should you ever need to whip it out and show that underneath it all, a lot of us like you.
Yeah.
I thought that was really nice because, you know... It's really true.
Those are what we call the exceptions
that
prove the rule. That's what those are. All right, now I have... Yes?
I had to make this quick observation, too, that you need to know this about people in relationships, that for every bad thing that you say about somebody, it takes three nice things to bring them back up to the level. You know what I'm saying?
I care about this. Why?
Because you need to remember that when people are mean to me or to you, then we have to say nice things about each other.
I'll get right on that.
Yeah.
I actually have a question. We may or may not get to this, though, because I know you feel like you never got a chance. You had a bunch of crap left over from Friday.
Oh, I dropped the sticky note. But yeah, we were talking about deal breakers.
Yes.
Let me see if it's on the floor.
Sorry, if I caught you unprepared, what with the many... What with the 4 days you've had to prepare your response for today?
Yeah, well, I've been really busy all day working on the...
All right, well, we got an email from a woman, actually, who'd been talking to a guy, and the guy had made the observation. He said, quote, if I can see a girl's ribcage, that's a deal breaker, end quote. And so we were talking about... And for guys, it's typically physical, but we were talking about the deal breakers, that will quash the sex if you're a guy.
Well, Sarah has to help me out because she helped me with this, but also... A lot of the women said the teeth thing, too. The teeth thing.
If the guy's got the foul,
bad
the bad teeth going on. Yeah.
And then definitely if he doesn't wear a condom or bring up birth control.
I think that all kind of goes without saying. I mean,
no, because, Rick, there are guys out there that are like...
I mean, you've got your own, presumably.
They can't do it.
Yeah, but you will bring your own, sister.
Yeah, but it's not just
about the
pregnancy.
Yeah, who don't want to wear them.
Well, if you want... Well, that's fine. Yeah, then you kick him to the curb. But I'm just saying, but it's not up to the guy. It's not the guy's responsibility.
Well,
I mean, I'm sure the guy should...
You put everything, all the responsibility is on us.
I didn't... I'm not saying that at all. I never said that. What I said is it's not just the guy. I mean, the guy shouldn't... You know, it's like if he doesn't bring one that doesn't have one, presumably you have one. And if you don't, why don't you have them?
Yeah. Well, he's got the... Oh, can I say it? I was almost going to say
penis?
The D word. I was going to say the D word. I can't.
So what, you...
He's the one with the penis.
You've got a vagina. I mean, you can... It seems like you can... It seems like you're a big girl. You can go to 7-Eleven and buy some rubbers. You know, it's not 1950. You don't need anybody's permission to go to the store and buy prophylactic.
Well,
Joey.
Some women still have a, you know, thing about...
Well,
that.
Those women should get over it, is what those women should do.
Those
women, it's too... You've got the... It's 2004. Learn to go buy condoms. Jesus Christ.
Well, Rick, you're the one... You should have the condom in your pocket.
Okay, I don't... This is a thing I agree with. At no point did I say the guy shouldn't have to carry it. All I'm saying is, if the guy... Look, the guy's like, oh, no, I'm sorry, I don't have any. I didn't bring one. I forgot it or whatever. I mean, I'm just saying, it seems like if you're going to be a responsible adult, that's the sort of thing you should have around.
Okay, well, maybe you're not understanding my point then. Basically, I was just trying to say that, you know, there are the
If a guy won't wear one, then boot his ass
okay,
to the curb.
Okay, well, good.
All
we
right.
agree on
Jesus.
That.
Moving
okay,
on.
So, like, if he's separated or, you know, getting divorced, that's pretty much a...
If he's getting divorced?
Well, if he says he's going to, you know, I'm going to divorce my wife.
So if he's married?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay, so you won't F a married guy. Excellent. Well noted.
Harry, real Harry, wears chains and stuff.
God, what about bad tattoos? Oh, like guys, yeah. Like, you think that they're good looking until they take off their shirt and they have like an exit only with an arrow pointing down to their ass.
What the hell? That sounds a little too specific to be a theoretical example. You did not see a guy that had that tattoo.
Oh, yes, I did.
Why would you? It seemed like that guy's working a little hard to say something there.
I mean, yeah, completely good-looking guy, too. Thought it was funny at the time.
Yeah, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a thing you should never get.
Or the ones with the boobs, you
seriously,
know.
Seriously, if you want to know why you shouldn't drink, I mean, that's exactly why. Because you end up with that tattoo right above your ass. That's a thing that you're going to regret, you know. What's that guy going to do when he's 80 and there's somebody having to change his sack in the nursing home and they're laughing at him because he's got a tattoo pointing to his anus? You know what I mean? It just seems like the sort of thing that you're going to regret almost immediately. All right, well, I'll tell you what. We'll take a break. I'll let you get your thoughts together since you've had 72 hours to prepare for this and yet are somehow still ill-equipped. We'll come back. We'll talk about that. We've got today's Top 5 coming up later on as well. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Back after this.
Portland. It's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Good afternoon, 201. Tim Bradley with news, brought to you by Car Toys. They have everything you need to accessorize your car in style. New headlights, under car neon shift knobs, the best selection in town. The final three, Muslim man with Portland ties, charged with terrorist-related crimes, have been sentenced to the federal pen. 25-year-old Ahmed Balil received 10 years, and his younger brother Muhammad got 8 years. Mayor Hawash, a former Intel worker, pled guilty to conspiring to provide services to the Taliban. He gets 7 years. Portland police increasing patrols targeting speeders and motorists driving around drunk. They say the death toll on Portland streets and highways already up to 9 this year. Most of the crashes, they say, involve speed and alcohol. A 36-year-old St. Helens man due in court today. Accused in the murder of 73-year-old Lorene McGilver, she vanished nearly 3 years ago. Cops believe that